I'm gross now. I've been talking through burps. I never used to do this. When I was a kid and I wanted to burp, I'd be like, silence! Blah! Now I'm trying to like push them down and muscle through them. I'll be at dinner just doing the bread and the seltzer, filling up like a hot air balloon. And then I'm like,
did you say that you were going to Italy? We have a travel agent. She has a travel agent. I'm going to the kitchen. Does anyone need anything? Does anyone need anything?
Just take a pause, John.
TBTL.
Is what we experience real, or is reality a computer simulation constructed by an advanced alien race? For more, our sports reporter, Jim Caputo.
Oh, won't somebody please think of the children?
When I eat hot Cheetos, I get crazy.
I just love hot Cheetos! I love them so much!
Remember that time you left a comment underneath that YouTube video and someone replied and called you a dumbass, so you replied and told them it takes one to know one, and then you stayed up all night hitting refresh on your browser waiting for them to reply, and then you fell asleep crying?
I remember it differently.
This is like that.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to a Tuesday morning edition of TBTL, the show that just might be too beautiful to live. Coming to you today from the Waldorf Astoria in Las Vegas, Nevada, the Bay City. My name is Luke Burbank. I am your host. This right here, this episode 2850 in a collector series. Longtime listeners to the show will appreciate the callback that what I'm about to tell you is, but I forgot to bring a mini-to-mini cable with me down here to Las Vegas, meaning I don't have my little sound effects to play here at the top of the show. For some of you, that will be a disappointment. For some of you, a great relief. But either way, that is going to be the case for the next few days. The good news is we have lots to talk about on this Tuesday morning, including a remembrance of Luke Perry. Very sad to hear that he passed away yesterday at the age of 52. As a kid, I did not look up to Luke Skywalker as much as you would have thought, because you know Star Wars was a big deal when I was a kid. I wasn't feeling that. Luke Perry, on the other hand, 90210, big influence on my life, or at least big aspiration in my life as a kid. So we'll talk about Luke Perry and also I had two slightly awkward run-ins with people related to the Trump Hotel here in Las Vegas, just within 20 hours of being here in this town. So we'll talk about that too. Plus emails and V-mails. And this feller, longest-running Cobra of the show, known for his drawings of tall ships, the Grace and their Majesty. He might have tacos for dinner tonight. He's not quite sure about it yet. He is Andrew Walsh, and he joins me right now from the Roosevelt neighborhood of Seattle, Washington. Good morning, my friend.
Good morning. I was racking my brain trying to think of like some dumb thing I could say that would sound like a drop of me saying something dumb on a previous episode. But the problem is I've never said anything dumb on previous episodes, mm-hmm. So here we are. Yep.
I guess what I could do is there is a weird file on my phone called TBTL Drops, which remember I was telling you there was a period of time where for what I don't understand why, but when I would get into one of the cars that had Bluetooth,
oh, yeah,
it would start playing drops from the show.
Mm-hmm.
And
just
it
one
was,
after the but, other.
And they were, I mean, there was no rhyme or reason to them, and they were not like, it was like you saying goldfish, mm-hmm. Goldfish darling or something.
Mm-hmm.
So I could try to find that and then just play it off the speaker of my phone into the microphone, but I feel like that, I don't know, that's just time-consuming, and the listeners are probably don't have time for that. They probably have places to be, people to see, things to do. How's life on this Tuesday morning for you, my friend?
Things are going very well today. I woke up and I listened to a lot of New Orleans jazz, I guess. My friend my friend has a show.
Really?
Once every 2 weeks on radio station KOTV. WTO in Telluride, and it is a true community radio station
of New Orleans jazz.
Right, exactly. Famously. Well, here, I'll explain. So this is a friend of mine. Her name's Lauren. She and I work together in New Hampshire, and she had a couple of our other mutual friends out there, one from New Orleans who lives in New Orleans now, and another one who lives in New York, and all three of them teamed back up on this little community radio station in Telluride where she volunteers and has a show, again, once every 2 weeks. I just find the whole thing to be so awesome and charming. And so I knew they were doing a fundraiser today, and so I woke up early and I was listening to it. And I guess because of Mardi Gras and everything, Shay from New Orleans was filling the Telluride airwaves with you know, New Orleans. Is it just New Orleans jazz? I feel like I'm missing the key word when describing New Orleans music.
I don't know. It's just jazz.
It's just jazz,
in
man.
In Mexico,
it's just jazz.
Mexico is just called food, man. Come on, get it together.
Yeah, but if a jazz man cooks a burrito so hot that he can't eat it, is he still a jazz man?
Speaking of New Orleanians in the news, or things from New Orleans, our friend the Stewbot actually posted something on Twitter this morning that was like a gender reveal thing.
Mm-hmm.
That is like the only one of those gender reveal things that I think I can actually get behind. Uh-huh. And like peace and love to our listeners. If they did an elaborate gender reveal and it was fun for them and their friends, live your life. But I take a sort of dim view of a lot of them, including the one that started a forest fire. If you remember that,
I do.
Shot some explosive material. Anyway, this one, though, I am fully behind. I don't know if you're capable, Andrew, of checking on Stu's Twitter feed, but I'll describe it to the listeners. It's like a baby. There's a, you know, there's like King Baby, which is associated with Mardi Gras. And so there's a, that's kind of a, I guess, an icon around Mardi Gras. And this is a big, like a package, like a present, but it's huge. And inside is a person dressed up like a baby, like in a, one of those like inflatable costumes that are very popular now, where there's some kind of internal fan built into it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's constantly being filled with air, and but you're inside it. And this person, like they go 3, 2, 1, and this guy, this person in an inflatable baby costume busts out of this package and starts doing like a Fortnite dance, I think is one of the things it's doing.
What it is?
Like that kind of jumping.
Yeah.
Jumping dance. And it's, I believe it's revealing it's a boy, but it's, in fact, are you in a position where you can play the audio? Cause there's a kind of a crazy song playing in the background that I'm kind of into.
Oh well. Yeah. Let's see. I was watching it on mute. The show has now just evolved into me cracking up at a Twitter video that nobody else can see. But this is goddamn delightful.
Isn't it?
What if it's a reveal that your baby is going to be a giant inflatable thing? It's a
giant
pretty baby
good dance
reveal.
Moves.
Yeah.
The baby's at the end of the video, the guy in the baby costume is just crawling across
and
the grass.
Spanking it.
It's so awesome. Also, I my whole jog this morning at the gym here was I had that song by Candyman, because that's a Candyman song.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
You know, ooh, boy, I love you so, never, ever, ever going to let you go. Yeah. We've actually, I believe, even played that on the show before. I think that's that's some kind of a re-recording or remix of the song, but that I had that song in my head all morning after watching that video. All of which is to say, happy Mardi Gras, everyone.
Happy Mardi Gras. You know what I woke up with today? I was going to tell you this off air, but what the hell? Let's do it here. You ever have one of those things where you wake up and you have just a little tiny snippet of a song going through your head and it's not even the real lyric?
For some reason, I
woke up. My brain is on about a 1.5 second loop of the Cranberries. What's her name? Is it Dolores Claiborne? That's not
or
right.
Reardon?
O'Riordan. That sounds right. I want to say Crouch Cream. I can't not think that every time. Anyway, I woke up with like her voice singing I'll make a spoon for you. And I know that she doesn't say, I'll make a spoon for you, but my brain just keeps on singing that song Linger with the lyric, I'll make a spoon for you. Yeah.
You know I made a spoon for you.
Exactly. I didn't want to really dig into it because I'm scared of hearing my own voice back later. But yeah, I don't. Do you even know what the lyric is supposed to be there that I'm replacing? I'll make a spoon for you.
I'm such a fool for you.
Oh, right. That makes more sense.
It does. Although, I mean, depending on how the spoon turned out, that could also be a real sign of love.
So what are you doing down there? I can't even remember what organization you're working for today.
Me neither. And that's going to make it weird later when I just randomly show up at the Las Vegas Convention Center going, who hired me to be here? Oh, what am I doing?
This is Pizza Expo. This is for CBS.
This is Pizza Expo, right, okay. Which has a bizarrely huge TBTL overlap, at least with the listeners. So a couple things. One, our friend Lloyd, listener Lloyd, hey Lloyd, is the one who tipped me off to this thing's existence.
Okay.
He works in the pizza industry in some way, and he emailed me a long time ago. This was, remember that? The beautiful halcyon days of a week where I said, I'm going to start checking my email more regularly. Mm-hmm. God, that was a wild week. Anyway, during that brief window when I had access to luke@tbtl.net, listener Lloyd emailed me and said, hey, there's this entire pizza convention in Vegas. It might be an interesting TV story. And so I sent it along to my bosses at CBS, and they liked the idea. So that's why I'm here. So listener Lloyd is somewhere at the convention. Also, our friend Drew McFrizz, a.k.a. Mike Frizzell, who worked for a long time in the pizza industry, emailed us last night and said, hey, I've been going to that convention for a long time if you need any tips or tricks. And then we got a listener in Bellingham, listener, I believe it's Matt, who works for a pizza oven company, Woodstone in Bellingham, that makes a bunch of the pizza ovens that are down here. So like, just mention, and then also, this is another weird thing. I don't know if somebody put me on a mailing list, Andrew, but I am getting pitches. I'm getting email pitches every day in the TBTL account from people who have celebrity chefs here for the Pizza Expo. And they're like, and these aren't just like Rich Gazarian, like totally random blast emails. These are like, hey, Luke, I heard you're going to be at the Pizza Expo. And so-and-so is here. Now, I'm not going to talk to any of those people. It's not really relevant to my story. But somehow word got out at the Pizza Expo that the big dog's in town.
Oh, good.
So that's what I'm...
I know you respond well to that kind of pressure. That's good.
So I mentioned at the top of the show that I've already had two weird Trump hotel-related interactions. So this is... I'm staying at the Waldorf Astoria, which, by the way, who knew they had one of those in Vegas? It actually used to be the Mandarin Oriental. Mandarin Orientals, if anybody out there is on a work account and you're somebody like the travel service says stay at the Mandarin Oriental, yes. Run, don't walk to that because it is really fancy, but it's like low key fancy. It's like nobody even knows about it. I got in the car and the Lyft driver was like, where are you staying? I'm like, the Waldorf. And he goes, I've never even heard of that. I was like, yeah, it's news to me they have one here. But CBS has some kind of a special deal with some of these high-end hotels where I guess if maybe all the rooms aren't booked, they get them for really cheap. So, for instance, we have like – you call if I'm doing a story for CBS, I call the travel service and I say like, okay, here's where I'm going. And they go, here's how much CBS has budgeted for hotels in this town. And like just to put it in perspective, I'm staying here at this incredibly fancy Waldorf Astoria for – less than the cost it would be to stay at Circus because of some weird quirk of B2B relations. I never want to leave this hotel, Andrew.
But what was the thing about the Trump thing? I'm excited.
Well, the Trump hotel is the other one apparently CBS has a deal with. So the woman I called at the Amex reservation service said, okay, well, I'm looking at what's available and what's within the CBS per diem. And she said, well, okay, the Trump Hotel. And I just paused and I thought, I don't want to over-explain this, but I also don't want to just seem weird, like I'm being unhelpful. So I said, yeah, I just have a personal policy against staying in a Trump Hotel. And then there was like about a four-second silence from her. And then she just said, well, I'll see what else I can find. Like, I wanted her to be like, high five, bro.
Right,
I'm with you. Then
she must hear that, though. I mean, that can't be the first time, right?
No, probably the other people that work for CBS are professionals.
Really? I can't. I don't think you're acting like a weirdo here. I couldn't. There's no way. There's just no way. Like, I would. Yeah. There's no way I'm waking up in the morning and looking at the, you know, Trump on the notepad next to the thing. Like, I just, maybe I just am coming off as like a totally unreasonable snowflake here, but I wouldn't do it, and I don't think that you're alone in feeling that way.
I've made this reference on the show before, but it is just, it's like Biff got the racing form in Back to the Future 2. It's too much like that movie where there's this giant, monstrous, gross casino hotel that says, has got a picture of Biff on the side of it. Mm-hmm. It's like,
and he's president.
It's just too similar for me anyway. So then the other interaction that didn't exactly go the way that I thought it would, I got in the lift and the guy in the lift, who's driving the lift, was I guess he was from Pennsylvania or something. He was a little like, just, I guess he was maybe a little more conservative than I expected, because I was talking to him about, he said, yeah, I've never heard of the Waldorf Astoria. Or I said, yeah, I guess it's new or something. And I said, yeah, the other place they wanted me to stay was the Trump Hotel, which, give me a break, I don't stay there. 15 seconds of silence. And then, so you're from Seattle? Yeah. Oh, I went up there with my wife on a cruise. We went on a cruise ship from Seattle to Alaska. It was the only cruise ship that has a racetrack on it. And my in-laws got it for me because I love NASCAR. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, yeah, we're not on the same page.
Right.
Kevin. It's definitely kind of this is not really related to any of it, but Melania Trump is apparently in town today. And so I don't know if that means does she stay at the Trump Hotel when she could? She's here to talk about cyberbullying. So just
at
submit
the
it without
convention?
Comment.
That'd be something.
God. How awesome would that be? The other thing I was going to say about this hotel really quickly is just because, Andrew, you know that, like, I stay in a lot of hotels now for my side gigs, and some of them, because of this weird business relationship, some of them can be kind of like sort of on the nicer end. But this one has like fanciness that I've not experienced before in certain ways. My room has something called a valet cabinet.
Okay.
And what this means, so when I checked in last night, they said, do you want any newspapers? And I said, sure. They gave me a variety of newspapers I could order. And I love me a conventional physical newspaper in the morning. Mm-hmm. So I was like, you know, send them all. And then this morning I was going down the hall in this room and I looked in this little like area in the room and the newspapers were there. And I was like, nobody came in the room. And it's because there's like a little door. There's like a door that I can lock from one end. There's like a pass through where the folks can put stuff. And like, I forgot my shaving razor. So they were like, oh, would you like us to put it in the valet cabinet?
Goddamn
right.
Or do you
want us to knock on the door?
You don't even, never, every time I call and ask for something, don't ask that question. I don't even need half this stuff. I just want to use the valet door.
I know. It's so like, it's very like Batman when he goes into his like secret, whatever it's called, lair, clubhouse.
With just a dash of Webster, though.
Yes, because as you might imagine, it's kind of a beautiful, I don't know, wood cabinet thing that I'm dealing with. And then the other thing that happened this morning was I was in the little gym they have here, which is so great, I got to say, because it just like looks out. Part of it looks out on the like, I don't know, hills and the like nature of that's just outside the city. And then part of it just looks out on all of the city and the like bright lights and the glitz. And man, did I feel smug this morning at 6:45 a.m. jogging and looking at nature and thinking, all these people, they went to the buffet last night and they're drunk and they're gambling and, oh, they're living what was my best life as of 6 months ago. Right. But look at me, I'm on this treadmill. But anyway, as the sun was rising, it was coming and it was hitting me in the eye, which I was basically fine with because I was like, I'm getting a little bit of exposure to natural life, which is in short supply when you're in the heart of Las Vegas like I am. And then all of a sudden, the sun wasn't in my eyes. And I was like, how did that happen? And I realized that there's some employee that works for the fitness center here at the hotel who had lowered a power shade so that the sun wasn't in my eyes.
Yeah.
Unbeknownst to me, I don't know if they're filming me, which that actually is a little weird. I don't even know how they knew. And I was the only person there. Just all of a sudden, and not all the way down, because I was really enjoying judging the people in the other parts. I was judging the people coming out of the CVS on the strip. for reasons I don't know. Maybe they needed medicine. It's 6:45 in the morning. What's wrong with me? But anyway, I'm just all of a sudden, it's just like more comfortable to be where I am. And it's like because someone and they moved it down 6 inches. They didn't move it all the way down. They just moved it down just enough so that the sun was not going directly in my eyes.
That could be automated. And very, very gradual. Shit. I mean, I know it would change a little bit throughout the year, but for day to day, they could have it set up. And as a matter of fact, it seems like they would, huh? If they're going to take the time to kind of take care of that, they must kind of realize that, oh, well, at a certain part of day, the sun is coming right into here and it's going to blind the people on the treadmills. And so we kind of lower this thing and raise it automatically.
Maybe. I mean, that makes me feel less special, so thanks for taking that away from me. Thanks for stealing my sunshine.
One other thing as you move on with your story, you also mentioned that, like, oh, these people, you know, who are out doing the buffet and getting drunk the night before, now you feel superior because you're running in Vegas. Can I just say that I have been with you in many a places, including the outskirts of Vegas on one of our trips, where even if you had done a lot of drinking and buffeting the night before, you would still be jogging in the morning. You might not be as smug about it, but you always woke up to jog. I was always impressed. No matter how late we were up the night before, you'd always be out there. But I guess you just didn't have the smugness. You had the more self-loathing, I guess.
Yes, exactly. And I talked about this a lot kind of when I first was stopping drinking was like, I realized that all of those jogs I went on were to just get the poison out,
mm-hmm.
like literally, like I'm full of alcohol still from the night before. And so if I jog, and that's always, you know, Camaro Kev and the rest of them will always kind of flip me shit because when we as a group would come out here to Vegas, I would always get up and run the next morning because I would consume so much alcohol that the only way I could go back at it the next day would be to literally do some kind of full body detox. And it was misery a lot of times, those jogs. So probably part of my smugness now is like being up, not out of necessity so much, not out of survival instinct. Mm-hmm. Like I'm not doing it this morning because I don't want people at the Pizza Expo to smell the reek of whiskey on me, which is like a very real concern I had. Like honestly, because you know how insecure I am. If you listen to the show, this is not news, but like, one of the things I'm always very concerned about is smelling bad, like having bad breath or just smelling of alcohol like intensely. And I, you know, when you drink a lot of alcohol every night and then the next day you're like meeting total strangers and talking to them, I really wanted to try to limit that, the possibility that I just smelled like whiskey or something. So that was a lot of that too, was just trying to sweat it all out. Mm-hmm. But just having that on my mind was kind of stressful to me. On the subject of which, and I can see that we're overdue for a break here, so we should probably do that. By the way, when I left the gym, I asked the woman, I was like, hey, where are the there was like a woman at the kind of front desk outside of the gym, and I said, where are the wipes to wipe down the treadmill? And she goes, oh, no, I do that. And that made me think she might have also been the person who lowered the shade.
Oh, yeah. Was she a robot? Is she a robot who automatically wipes down the machines? That's all. I just have theories.
I watched or I wrote this on Twitter yesterday that I was looking at. I was trying to log into something. Oh, it was like one of our work related things, I think. And there was a CAPTCHA. And it really caused me to wonder about the nature of a storefront. Like I'm looking at it, it's like click everything that's a storefront. And I'm like, ah, man, I don't know. Is a guy selling something out of that like window? Is that a storefront? What makes a storefront a storefront? And I thought, this is why a robot would be confused by this. I'm a robot.
Were you the one telling me? Somebody was just telling me. I swear I heard a news story second or third hand. So buckle up, America. That or maybe it was on Marketplace Tech or something where CAPTCHA and the other kind of like devices that are supposed to be used to spot and stop bots online, humans are dumber than robots, so they're doing things now to try to catch the robots in a different way. They're like dumbing it down in some way because we're so dumb. Good. And robots are so smart. I can't remember the ins and outs of it, but it was one of those you know, Bob Edwards saying that's the saddest thing I've ever heard moments.
Well,
that's the saddest like, thing I've ever heard.
I find a lot of those CAPTCHA things. Well, I'm totally confused by the technology because sometimes it's just click. You tell them I'm not a robot and that's enough. And I'm like, that's exactly what a robot would do. It would tell you it's not a robot.
Right.
Like that doesn't seem like enough security. And then some of them are like, click on every square, like I said, that is a storefront. And I'm like, okay, some of them are obvious. First of all, it's always a blurry picture from like Brazil or something, like where it's, you know, like I'm like, I don't know what they sell things out of on this, what appears to be a street in South America. Like there's some obvious ones that looks like a store, but then there's a little doorway and maybe a guy selling mangoes out of there. I don't know. Like it's, sometimes they are legitimately too vague for me or too hard for me to make a call on. So I'm glad to hear they're dumbing them down because they are too hard for me.
What's the name of the bodega cat? If you can answer this question, then we'll let you book a flight on Concur.
Exactly. All right. Let us take a quick break. And then when we come back, we'll talk about Luke Perry a little bit. And we'll do some emails and v-mails right here on TBTL. Don't go anywhere. Who is this?
I believe they're called, you know, I always say Glass Vegas, but I'll bet you it's Glass Vegas. That would make more sense. They're in my iTunes from a long time ago. They sound a little bit like
The Killers.
Yeah, yeah, that's definitely from that era.
Who are from Las Vegas.
Oh, are they? Oh.
Yes, they are.
Yeah, this is a very familiar sound to me. I mean, I know it's in my iTunes, so I guess that...
I have a soft spot for this kind of music. This kind of era of, I don't know what you, like 2015 music, all that kind of Killers and certain, like, who did that Take Me Out song?
I'm the wrong guy to
ask. Franz Ferdinand.
Okay, yeah. This is a this is a Scottish indie rock band, apparently, from Glasgow.
That would make sense. Well, that's the thing, is... That's like Franz Ferdinand is from Scotland, too.
Oh,
you know that Take Me Out song, right?
Probably when I hear it. Honestly, that style of music all sort of sounds the same to me. Is that the name of it, Take Me Out? Because I could play it.
Yeah, it's very... Well, I mean, I guess if we want to...
What else? Yeah, this sounds familiar.
Well, then it does this thing. It's one of those songs where it completely changes tempo, and then it gets into the really the famous part. Just the give it another second. Just, why not? So much of this song that is not the famous part of this song.
Just get to the part where he makes a spoon for her.
Play the working overtime workout part.
I mean, the song rings a bell, but like a lot of this music all kind of blends together for me. I won't lie. It doesn't mean I don't like it. It just all kind of, you know, I never like really latched on to one of these bands in particular. So it also was sort of happening around me.
I got it. I was listening to this band, Big Country from Scotland on the flight yesterday. You know, they do that song In a Big Country. And because I just heard that song kind of randomly yesterday. I was like, this song is good to me. So then I went and I downloaded the whole record and, I was listening. So apparently, I really got Scotland on the brain. Hey, one other thing I was going to say, unimportantly, of course, I had started to say it before the break, and I didn't finish my thought, which is like about my paranoia about having bad breath. Mm-hmm. I think that the only thing that could really finally truly put me off of trying to really hardcore low carb, our friend Jessica sent around this text to me and Camaro and Roden about like basically body odor associated with doing like low carb diet, like a keto diet. There's something called keto crotch, which is it's exactly what you think it would be based on the name, but also like I started reading like this article that she linked to about how like when your body goes into ketosis, which is what's happening when you're not getting any carbs and your body is just processing fat really fast, hence losing weight, you get this breath that kind of smells like nail polish.
Oh.
And I was like,
doesn't sound right.
You know, I've been kind of on and off low carb life for years, you know, always at this with this obsession of trying to maintain my weight, which is why I came to a pizza expo, because this is the mm-hmm. land of low carb.
Mm-hmm.
But the guy on the flight next to me, I couldn't quite place it. His breath smelled like nail polish. And then I look over and he's listening to a podcast about keto life.
Really? Wow.
And I was like, this is what they were talking about in the article. And I swear to God, this is where my vanity and my insecurity collide. And I guess my insecurity wins over my vanity. It's a real battle bot situation. Remember that show for a minute?
Vaguely fighting cartoon.
No, it was real. It was like fighting robots on, like, I think, I can't remember if it was like on Comedy Central. People would build these fighting robots called battle bots, and then they would fight them.
Oh, the little remote control ones? Like they kind of do that. They do versions of this in school stuff. I forgot about that being a show. Yes, I love that shit. We have a listener who's way into that. I don't know. I mean, she teaches students how to make robots, but I don't know if they fight. They probably don't
if they have saw
kids.
Blades on them.
Right, yeah. Oh, that was a cool damn show, though. God, I forgot about that.
Yeah. So in the battle botting of my... In one corner, we have Luke's insecurity about having keto breath. And in the other corner, Luke's vanity about not weighing over a certain amount. Which will win? Well, it turns out apparently insecurity. Because when I read that about keto breath, and then when I was experiencing it with this guy I was talking to on the plane, I was like... I'm going to eat all the pizza when I get to Las Vegas. Like, I'd rather be pleasantly plump than have keto breath.
Rather smell so like marinara. But here's what I don't get. Like, is it – like, eating garlic will make your breath bad too. But you know what I do? I brush my teeth and I gargle. Like, is there no cure? Is keto breath so bad that it can't be fought using the usual methods?
I mean, I don't think it's the same, because if you eat garlic or something else, that's a one-time event. And if you brush your teeth, there's less of it in your mouth. And if you gargle, there's less of it in your throat, I guess. But the idea is that the ketosis is – it's emanating from your very – like your gutty works and your body, because your body is in this process 24 hours a day if you're doing it successfully. And like honestly, if I have to choose between being a little heavier than I want to be or having nail polish breath, I vote for being a little heavier than I want to be. And that is – this is actually – I wish I had my bell. Ding, ding, ding. This is a moment of insight for me. My insecurity, thank you. My insecurity, it turns out, is slightly stronger than my vanity. Even though, let's be honest, they're probably cousins.
What does it do for your breath if you eat punks like you for breakfast? Because that's what I do, Luke. I eat punks like you for breakfast.
What is that from?
I don't know. I was trying to sound tough. It's a new thing.
Yeah. I feel like that's right. That's like one click off from a thing somebody says in a movie. Oh wait, Wet Hot American Summer? Doesn't he?
I know that this is a little off color. I mean, I guess nowhere near a phrase that you used on yesterday's show. But wasn't there an
what about keto crotch? Where would you put keto crotch on the spectrum? Yeah.
Wasn't there an SNL where – I think we were just talking about this skit the other day where you have Sinatra and he's on the – is it the McLaughlin Group or whatever? And he says to Sinead O'Connor, I find chunks of guys like you in my stool.
Yes.
Am I conflating what that's from? Maybe it's from something else.
Yes. I do think – I feel like that's something – that I forget the origin of it. Maybe that's where it's from. I've been saying that for years and never really known what the origin is. Like I find chunks. You're right. This is as gross as you said it was going to be as I say it out loud.
Sorry.
But like I've referenced that line for years, and I don't think I ever actually knew. In my mind, it was something Jack Palance said sometime. The guy from Ripley's Believe It or Not. Did you watch Ripley's Believe It or Not as a kid?
I can't believe that you didn't go with The Legend of Curly's Gold. I guess he's technically not in that, huh? Because he's dead.
But
yeah.
I was intentionally trying to not reference it because yesterday on my video that I played where I was talking about The Revenant, I said Legend of Curly's Gold, and I'm trying to branch out.
Right.
So, but then I don't know any other Jack Palance thing, so I was really screwed.
I do think when I type – when I type the phrase, I find chunks of guys like you in my stool. God, I hate it. Sometimes I do love my job. Sometimes I maybe hate myself. I do think that that is from the Saturday Night Live, the Sinatra group. That's the first thing that pops up. But I'm not going to play it.
Okay. Well, on that note, and as we've now demonstrated the value of the program, could you, Andrew, cue up the thank you music so I could thank some donors of the day?
Is there any segment we can do in between this chat and the thank yous? Or should we just launch right into this?
In post, can you go, like, excerpt out, like, a long clip from an actually good podcast and just put it in?
You know what the worst part is? I'm actually less ashamed of that than the music talk we had before that, where you just kept naming bands. I'm like, I don't know, sounds familiar. So actually, maybe we are trending upwards, and this is the time to do it.
This show is like the stock market, people. On an hour-by-hour basis, it may plummet. It may plunge. But if you look at the overall trend over the years, oh, it's also down. Okay, yeah, no, it's bad. It's just, I guess it's bad all the way around. But somehow, these donors of the day, Andrew, they continue to support this program with their donations, and we sure do appreciate it. Talking about Blythe Carlson of Minneapolis, Minnesota, which is right near the home office of American Public Media. Thank you, Blythe. Aaron Highland of Bellevue, Washington. Trisha Parker of Lincoln, Nebraska. Nebraska is one of those ones that it takes me a minute when I look at the abbreviation, because I think it's the abbreviation for the state of New England, right. And then my brain reminds me that's not a state.
You're talking about the Nebraska Patriots? I always root for them.
Dude, no joke, when I was a kid, and this was long before the New England Patriots were the juggernauts that they have become, they went to the Super Bowl against the, I think, 1985 Chicago Bears. And that was the year of the Super Bowl shuffle. I want to say that the Patriots were quarterbacked by Steve Grogan. And I remember like going, okay, I got to get to the bottom of this New England thing. What state is New England? Mm-hmm. And going to my school, because this is, of course, well pre-internet, and looking on a map of the United States for the state of New England and being puzzled as to where these Patriots were from.
Did you end up asking someone?
I must have. Or maybe I must have asked somebody and they must have said, no, it's just a region. Mm-hmm. Although growing up in the household I grew up in, my parents could have possibly believed that New England was a state. It was Don't go into it. Okay, really quickly. Thank you, Sarah Templeton of Lake Oswego, Oregon. I am going to go into it after I thank these donors. Thank you, Elena Flores of Los Angeles, California. Elena, Sarah, Trisha, Aaron, and Blythe. Thanks for supporting TBTL. Thank you for making the show possible. We really do appreciate it. And we're really going to try to do better. Okay? It's our promise to you. Will we do better? Probably not. Will we try to do better? Maybe. So thank you for donating to TBTL. I feel a young heart growing old. The thing that I was trying to stop myself from saying, I was reading because, as you know, Andrew, I received a number of newspapers through the valet cabinet this morning. I was reading in the Las Vegas Review-Journal about this lawmaker from, like, Sparks, of course, that's out in the rurals, who is trying to get this piece of legislation in the state passed that makes it illegal for people. It makes it illegal for people to have microchips implanted in their body, even if they want it, like for their company or for any other purpose, even if the people opt for it. And this is apparently a piece of legislation that this guy has been floating for, I don't know, for years, but he's tried it before and it's died because no one's trying to make anyone put microchips in their body. But he like read an article about a company somewhere in the Midwest that was, if its employees wanted to have some little chip put in, like an RFID chip, so they could just scan themselves through the whatever easier, they could do it. And I don't even, if I remember right, I don't even think that was a real thing. I think they were just considering it on a totally voluntary basis. But when I read that, and this is where I'm connecting it with my childhood, I grew up living in absolute terror of the Mark of the Beast, which I was assured was going to be a barcode we were all going to have on our wrists. And I know for a fact this guy in Sparks, Nevada, it's not even in the article, but I would bet dollars to donuts that this guy is an evangelical and that he is worried about the Mark of the Beast and that he thinks that this is the beginning of it happening and that he is like just keeps floating this legislation that's going nowhere to try to stop people from getting the Mark of the Beast. And it's just like raced me right back to my childhood where I just was like, yeah. And then we're all going to get these barcodes on our wrist. It's the Mark of the Beast. I mean, I grew up thinking barcodes were the Mark of the Beast.
And it just shows like how antiquated things were back then, because now we all know that the Mark of the Beast will take the shape of a QR code. It's just quaint thinking about it as
easier,
a barcode at this point.
Simpler.
Yeah.
That was a thought that floated through my brain that I wasn't capable of tamping down. So thank you for letting me get that out. And let's talk about Luke Perry a little bit.
I thought I was supposed to play it there.
Hello and welcome to Top Story.
That was good.
Okay, good.
I like that. I would have liked it better if you sang it yourself. I would like you to do an impression of every drop that we have to play on the show today.
Can you give me a second here? Because I'm pretty sure I have exactly what you are asking for. It might be this.
Top Story.
Listen to that. That's beautiful. Yeah,
that's in my archive.
I like that you played yourself doing that instead of just doing it again.
It's easier this way.
Sad news, Luke Perry passed away at age 52. I don't know if you were a big 90210 head in your youth, Andrew. Somehow I don't think you were. And I don't think I would have been predisposed to watch that show or even know much about it. But when I was a kid, this is back to the Mark of the Beast talk, our family was pretty anti-TV, but I did trade my neighbor kid, James DeMuth, some, I think, baseball cards. I forget what it was, but I traded him some stuff for a boombox that had a little TV on it. A TV that is smaller than my iPhone,
yeah.
I'm sure.
My friend Tony had one of those boomboxes with a TV in it. It was friggin' level.
Yeah, I could not believe. Well, James had a bigger, cooler TV in his room, so to him, this thing was it was 2000 and late. But to me, it was you're trading me a thing that has a television built into it. What the actual F? So I set this up in my room, but I set it up in such a way that my parents, raising seven children, didn't have a lot of time to really, they didn't bore down on the details of my life. They didn't realize this thing had a TV on it. They just thought it was just like a tape player. But it only got two channels. And I think, if I remember right, definitely one of them was Fox, and one of them I think was Channel 5, which was NBC in Seattle. So I was a power user of every single program that was on Fox and on NBC. So that would have been on NBC. It would have been a show called Civil Wars, which was a show about divorce lawyers. Debbie Mazar was in it. She played the secretary for these two lawyers, and I was riveted by the show. There was also a show called Homefront, which was the original show Kyle Chandler was on, the guy from Friday Night Lights, where it was set in I believe in Ohio right after World War II. I loved that show. And then the Fox programming, which was literal trash, I just ate it up with a spoon. Anything on Fox. So in Living Color, that wasn't so much trash, but 90210.
Me too, by the way. Can I just jump in and say this is amazing? Because when I saw that Luke Perry died, I immediately thought of my connection to 90210. And I watched the first season pretty hardcore. And the reason I did was the same exact reason. I had my very first TV in my room right around that time. And we had moved to a new house. We had always just... My entire life up until this point, we'd lived in the same house out in the country, and we just had a bunch of old furniture and old everything. And then my family moved to kind of a McMansion-y kind of place, and we suddenly—I don't think that that's really the term, but a very new house on a beige street, right? We've talked about that, and we suddenly had a lot more room, and my parents were buying new things to furnish the new house, and so I got like some old TV that used to be in like the corner of our old house. And so that was a huge deal to have a TV in my room. And I also got Fox. And I remember watching 90210 in my new bedroom on my new slash old TV. That's like my main connection to the show.
It completely and totally sucked me in, that show. Like, and again, I guess, you know, it was produced by
Aaron Spelling.
And it was, you know, I guess it was just, you'd call it a kind of a teen soap opera. And I was not a, again, I was not a watcher of teen soap operas or real soap operas or any of that stuff. But I just was there for this show from, like, I identified with Dylan and Brenda. They moved out from, like, Minnesota to Beverly Hills. I mean, just saying the plot out loud, you realize how ludicrous it was as a show. Hanging out at the Peach Pit, Luke Perry as the bad boy. But, man... when Luke Perry showed up, first of all, because we both had the name Luke, and because he just had this kind of brooding smoke, like, you know, smoldering quality, I was like, that's my new look. As soon as I can grow sideburns, that's what I'm doing. That's how I'm going to be. I'm going to be like Luke Perry. And
when you can grow sideburns, you'll still do that. You're just still
to this
waiting.
Day, I can't grow sideburns. I'm still waiting. But I loved that show so much, and I loved – I just was totally and completely consumed with it. And I remember, you know, it's really funny. This show, in a very small way, it's – I don't want to overstate this, but there's a small chance that my love of Luke Perry and 90210 is why this radio show exists. And I'll explain why. Because I used to date Jen Andrews' little sister in high school. And I remember going over to their house where they lived. And Jen was older than me. But sitting around, like, I went ostensibly to hang out with her little sister, but me and Jen just hardcore deep dive major, like, conversation about 90210. Like, and just into the, like, weeds of it, in the way that we get into the weeds of a lot of stuff on this show. And that was when Jen and I, like, met, basically. I was probably, like, a freshman in high school or something. And that was when, like, I kind of got on her radar. And so then she was always really supportive of her sister dating me. Her sister and I dated intermittently throughout high school and then a little bit in college. And she was very, like, pro dating her dating Luke because she and I just like to sit around and basically do TBTL before TBTL was a thing.
Did you guys ever record your conversations? I'm sure if you did,
oh,
we would have heard
been
them
amazing.
By now. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely that would have probably been like the second episode of the show.
Yeah, right.
Just playing old grainy tapes. But so I really loved the show. But then I kind of, you know, forgot about Luke Perry. I didn't follow the rest of his career. But what I was really struck by was just the outpouring of love for him and sympathy for his family when he passed away. And this consistency of what everybody who had known him or met him, what they all posted was just that he was an incredibly sweet, nice guy. And it's like, you just don't, you know, when somebody kind of famous dies, it's pretty typical for people to say, you know, to eulogize them in a certain way. But like, this just has the ring of truth because it's so consistent across so many people talking about him. And the stories, like random people going, he was really nice to bartenders, which says a lot about somebody. Or Colin Hanks wrote this thing on Instagram. He's talking about being on a flight back home from Mexico, and there were some kids in that were just fighting the whole flight, little kids, like, you know, probably a little older than toddlers. And Colin Hanks was like, you know, if you have kids, you totally know how this goes. Like, they just could not be consoled. And the parents were like, just at their wits' end. The parents had done everything they could. They just could not get these kids to calm down. And Colin Hanks said that, like, after, I don't know, an hour or two of this going on, he said, somebody comes back from first class. And for the first thought I had was, wow, Colin Hanks was flying in coach.
Yeah.
Good job, dude. Way to go. So he goes, somebody comes back from first class and they blow up a balloon like a sword. And they kneel down and they give the kids the balloon sword. And the kids just are like, what? They totally stop fighting. They suddenly have this balloon they're like obsessed with. And like they're chill the rest of the flight.
And then an air marshal comes and tackles them and says, you cannot have swords on this flight.
It's a post-9/11 world. You can't be too safe. So they get off the flight. Colin Hanks and his wife get off the flight, and they're waiting at customs. And they realize that the guy who had come and blown up the balloon sword for the kids is Luke Perry.
Wow.
And And Luke Perry recognizes Colin Hanks from the TV show Fargo and says, like, hey, I really love Fargo. You're really great on Fargo. And Luke and Colin Hanks is like, oh, my God. He's like, thank you so much. I've been a fan of yours. And that was amazing, that balloon trick. He goes, oh, yeah. He goes, I always carry a couple balloons in my pocket on flights to go, like, in case kids are having a meltdown.
Wow.
Yeah. Like, and then Colin Hanks's point in this Instagram post was, he goes, you know, he was just fondly remembering his one kind of meeting with Luke Perry. But then he also said, like, he goes, I'm going to start doing that because, like, that's just like a really great move to have, you know, just to be like, to just be at the ready to help, you know, help people out and kind of calm some little kids down. So,
yeah, like, it's tempting to be like, hey, I want to be the balloon guy or whatever. But even putting that aside, I like stories like that because it just inspires you to be a better person. It inspires one to be a better person, generally speaking, right? You don't have to be famous. You don't have to do it because you hope that somebody will write something nice about you when you pass or that somebody will secretly realize it was you. It just makes you realize, I want to be one of the people who puts good stuff out there, you know, and not like, you know, I really struggle with just being, you know, just grousing all the time and being a grumpy guy and thinking about how, you know, these kids are ruining my time or whatever, like, you know, turning myself into the victim right away or something. And just hearing stories like that, whether it's Luke Perry or anybody, it just, I don't know. I find it to be somewhat inspiring, for lack of a better word.
Yeah. We were talking last week, I think, about kind of trying to remember to cut people, or I'm trying to remember to cut people a break if their kids are acting up on the flight, because obviously I think the parents are usually having a worse time than anyone on the plane because they're probably feeling really mortified. But, like, yeah, just that idea that, and you're right too, my impulse as a person and as a kind of having the show off demon is to be like, oh, I'm going to carry the balloon so I can be the hero of the story. But you get the sense in the telling of this one that it was like Luke Perry was not out there as Luke Perry. He was not out there as the guy from 8 Seconds or Riverdale. He was just like a guy on a plane who was like, these kids are freaking out. Let me go see if I can calm them down. And if nobody would have recognized him, you know, and he would have just gone through customs and gone home to his life, that would have also, there was probably, I guess what I'm trying to say is, in that guy's life, there was probably 1,000 other days where, and maybe it wasn't always balloon related, but 1,000 other days where he just did something kind of subtle like that, or was just being a generally nice person by all accounts, and nobody noticed it was Luke Perry. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm,
they just,
right.
He just kind of was, that was, sounds like that was more or less how he was going through the world. And again, having not given him a lot of thought over the last 30 years of my life, dear God, I'm so old. I took a picture of myself last night on my laptop to send to Carrie and the animals, because, like, it's important for me that the animals see a picture of me saying goodnight, because, you know, that's big in their world. And I just looked at myself and I was like, I don't even think I'm like necessarily a bad looking person. I just look like I'm 42 years old.
Yeah,
I just, like, I know, but it's really happening.
That's the type of thing my mom would say. You're, like, trying to come to grips with something. I'm just like, yeah, you are.
But I mean, yeah. I, like, it's weird because I, you know, I've already talked at length today about my insecurity battling my vanity. And I think there was a while where I thought, well, if I really just, like, if I take my pills so that my hair doesn't fall out as fast, and if I do all my little keto and I exercise, I can somehow forestall aging. And it's like, no, you can't. And even if I am, like, you know, in, I guess you could say, reasonably okay condition, I'm just getting old. We all are. It's just happening. And there was something about last night, this photo of myself as I sent it to Carrie, that I was just like, that's a middle-aged dude staring back at me from this from the photo, you know, photo booth on this laptop. That is a 40, about to be 43 year old man. And, like, that's okay. That's just life.
Mm-hmm.
But I tend to think sometimes that I can somehow dance around the realities of being alive on this planet. And it's like, you know, I can't. And it's good for me. I think it's good for me to be confronted with that sometimes.
I'm not saying this to have you say, oh, no, Andrew, you're a very attractive man, although I would love to hear that sometime. But, like, I think that for me, it's not I hate pictures of myself, but I've always hated pictures of myself. Like, I've never been attractive, and I never have considered myself attractive. So the aging process for me is every now and then, if I'm looking back at old photos, I'll be like, oh, I was a lot younger then. But what really punches me in the gut is when I see a photo of, you know, a friend of mine from back in the day, and I haven't seen them in a long time, and then I look at a photo of them, and like, we were the young ones in whatever scenario we were at. You know, we were in high school together, or I remember there was a time when I worked at New Hampshire Public. I mentioned at the beginning of the show, actually, my friends who are all together at KOTO today having a little radio reunion at the community radio station there. I remember two or three of us who were in that crew back in the early 2000s. I remember made a point of being like, wow, we are the young wing of NHPR. I was the youngest, and my friend Laura was the second youngest, and I remember her saying, you've replaced me as the youngest in this organization, and I don't appreciate it. And, you know, we were, I don't know, we just felt like adults, but I look back at, you know, my first years as a professional out of college, and I just feel like I was a kid, a child back then. But when I look at photos of my contemporaries nowadays, like if I start following somebody on Instagram who I haven't seen in a really long time, I actually see my age in their faces more, and somehow that hits me harder.
Absolutely. I think our aging is a little bit like grass growing. Mm-hmm. And so we just, I mean, I just said that, you know, I noticed last night that like I'm getting old, but I don't think about that a lot because it just, you know, you're just used to your face. And as it gradually changes, you don't really notice it. But in other people, it's very noticeable, or not very noticeable, but it just hits you differently. So I know what you're talking about. Yeah, like realize, even like my daughter being 25.
Yes. Yeah, I can imagine.
That's insane to me. Even though that's just math, like that's, of course, I'm 42. She's going to be 25. But that's like those kinds of almost like ancillary aging of other people or whatever is like, I know my mom will always say like, I can't believe that you're 42 years old, because really what it's making her realize is that she is 65 years old.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, or whatever. So I don't really know where I was going with that. R.I.P. Luke Perry.
Let me ask you
one more question.
He was
a pretty awesome dude.
Do we know if Chet Hayes has weighed in on it yet? What was Chet Hayes' story? The Tom Hanks, oh, that man. Whole Tom Hanks family thing I find fascinating. Obviously, Tom Hanks seems like an amazingly good guy as well. His son does, Colin. Chet Hayes is some sort of weird mystery. But even if Colin Hanks wasn't even if he didn't have his own career, you would sort of be surprised to know that like the adult children of Tom Hanks are flying coach, right? And this is after he's already been on Fargo. That's really interesting.
Yes.
Did he at least have a little extra leg room? Was he at least in an emergency row? I hope. Colin, you're a tall guy.
He mentioned he was in Preferred Plus, which I thought was not very relevant to the Instagram post. I don't know why he decided to dazzle me with that deet. I know, but like, you know me, I'm so obsessed with like airline status that I was like, wow, this implied in this story is that Colin Hanks and his wife are flying coach coming home from Mexico. And like, I don't want to, you know, Chet Hayes might be a nice kid. I mean, he might have a good heart, and maybe he's going to get the nose up on what seemed like some kind of slightly non-self-aware college years, although didn't a lot of us have those. So, you know, it's kind of a little unfair to him, I guess, because like, his comings and goings were much more noted because his dad is Tom Hanks. Meanwhile, Colin Hanks just seems to excel at being Tom Hanks's kid in the way that we would hope he would be. Like, seems extremely down to earth. I mean, he looks like him. He's a good actor. He's flying coach. He's just like doing everything right. He just seems like he's just, and yeah, like he seems like the kind of guy that if he didn't go into acting, he would be, a college professor, or he'd work at Microsoft, or he'd have some kind of like normal person job, and he would just be like, you would meet him and you would tell all your friends that you met Tom Hanks's son and that he was super normal and cool.
By the way, Chet, I like that you're being generous to Chet Hayes, he goes by, right? But like, he's still Chet Hazing it up. Like he, I don't think that. Yeah, I don't think it was just the college years. I just jumped onto his Twitter right now. He's kind of got like some sort of a weird. He hasn't tweeted since January, early to mid January. But it's like, I don't know. I think he might think he's kind of got a little Kanye thing going on. Here are the three most recent tweets. Don't hang out with people who pretend like they don't know about all the dope shit you got going on. That was January 8th. January 10th, 2 days later, he just let that one sit. And then 2 days later, he comes back with the Mona Lisa was a self-portrait. If you understand this, then you have seen. January 10th. January 16th.
Is he doing LSD?
I don't know. When you're in tune with your own nature, everything falls in place. I guess that's fine. Yeah, no, I don't know exactly what he's getting at here, but I think he's just trying to. Oh shit! No, this is from this January. Yeah. So anyway, I think he's still rapping. He's still doing his weird thing. I think he's the guy who like did a whole defense of why he is a white guy can say the N word. If you'll recall that, like I'm not.
Oh God.
I'm not.
What do you think they talk about at Thanksgiving? It's like you have these exceedingly normal people: Rita Wilson, Tom Hanks, Colin Hanks. I don't know if that's all of the kids. That's the entirety of the family, as far as I know. And then you just have the white guy who wants to say the N-word and says the Mona Lisa was a self-portrait. Like, what do you do with that as a family? That's a lot.
You probably say, I wonder where Chet is. I'm like, just maybe guessing he's not there at Thanksgiving. I don't know.
Well, no, he's the guy saying he's allowed to say the N-word.
Yeah. They're saying, we know where Chet is. We put him in the closet. We don't want him to be around the company. No, I don't know. No, my original point was just that maybe he's not showing up for Thanksgiving, so you don't have to worry about it. But I don't know if that's the case. I don't – honestly, I feel bad like, because I think that he's like – you know, we've gone on – I think justified rips on him. But then when I do sort of – when you set up the scenario that you just set up, I somehow feel bad making fun of Tom Hanks' son. That is how much Tom Hanks has got in my head.
Maybe. I mean, that's more Tom – that's the long shadow of Tom Hanks.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're like, that's out of respect. If this were like – if this were Westeros, like you're not – you would not execute Chet of Hayes, first of his name, because your father and – he and your father fought in a war together against the, Targaryens. You know what I mean? This is like a long-running loyalty to his father. That's the only reason that Chet's getting a pass on that bullshit that he pulled during the Red Wedding or whatever.
Right. Well, I mean, I think what happened there for a second was I had this really quick, weird fantasy where I was ripping on him just this moment, and I just had this weird thought like, boy, it'd really bum me out if Tom Hanks heard this. Like, Tom Hanks shouldn't have to hear me, like, slamming on his son on my tiny little podcast.
God, that would be such a good problem for us to have.
Yeah, no, that's true, though.
I mean, I feel like a couple things. If I get a kind of miffed text from Tom Hanks, that's a win because it means he has my phone number, and that means then I have his phone number, and I can finally get him on LiveWire.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Do you have his phone number?
So appreciate...
No, you try. Didn't you come close to getting it, and then kind of at the last minute we're like, never mind.
I missed – it was just one of those – it was like a – I don't know. It was like a basketball shot where the ball just like comes to rest on the rim and he could just go one way or the other. Like it was post Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me recording when he hosted and I was on it and we were totally hitting it off. And I mentioned, oh, I do this other show, LiveWire. And he said, oh, in Portland, he goes, oh, I go to Portland a lot. I'd love to be on it. And I had my phone out and he had his phone out and it was like this moment. I wish Bump still existed. Maybe I could have just subtly bumped his phone or something.
I forgot about that with my
the unprotected
pilot.
Sex of phones. The raw dogging of phones.
I forgot about
possible
that.
Show title? Not really.
No,
anyway, I said like I had this, but you know, it was like Carrie was there and Addie and Addie's boyfriend at the time was there and it had been a whole thing, like no selfie, no pictures with Tom Hanks, but then of course, after the show when we were all friends, it was like everybody was getting pictures with him. But I was just very much trying to straddle the line between fanboying and treating him like a colleague.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just didn't get his phone number. And I was like, I know that I'll never be that close to him again. Like I'll never be in the same physical space as him again to where I could get the phone number. So I missed my chance. But I also thought – we're having such a nice time talking that if I like ask him for his phone number and he has to then like figure out a way to say no to me, that's going to make it just weird for everyone. I just didn't want to ruin the nice time that we were having.
And I think I mean, listen, I'm obviously going nowhere in my life, so you should not listen to me when it comes to this stuff. But for me, that's the path I would have taken, because what you're doing is you're respecting him and giving him his space, because you know that almost every interaction he has with anybody who isn't in his immediate inner circle is like somewhat loaded in some ways, and he has to be performative in some way. And it sounds like he kind of had a, if I recall, he was kind of like a no photo policy, but then did do a photo and it was totally not weird. And he's just sounds very gracious and everything. So you just being a little bit gracious and saying, listen, I'm just not going to push the envelope here, and I'm just going to let the moment exist, and I'm going to let him try to relax as much as possible without feeling like I'm trying to get something from him. I don't know. I like that move. But again, you know, I'm not. I a lack of ambition could be associated with me as well.
Is it weird that Chet Hayes doesn't have his number?
Is it weird that I don't have Chet Hayes' number? Because I would love to get him on.
Now, Chet Hayes, I would ask for his number, and I don't know what his response would. He'd probably be like, hit me up on my Finsta.
Exactly.
Should we go out with a Chet Hayes song?
No,
we
should not.
Also, Chet Hayes also sounds exactly like it could be a guy who opened for Hank Williams in 1946.
Yeah, yeah.
At the Grange.
Yeah, I could see that. I'm sure the Hayes, I didn't even really think about this. I guess Hayes, that must be a pot reference, huh? Like Hayes, like a bunch of weed is called like Hayes.
Probably.
All right, I know you know about TBTL, the podcast. You're listening to it right now. But have you tried TBTL, the newsletter? Because you can. Just go over to tbtl.net and click on the button that says sign me up for the TBTL newsletter. I gotta say, it's a lot of fun. Every week, Luke and I record a little video that we include in the newsletter. It's called Hey Dummies. We answer your questions, any questions you want to ask us. Well, there's all kinds of things in the newsletter. Don't take my word for it. Here, this is Mary. She's a big fan of the newsletter.
It has a nice welcome introduction, but then you have these phenomenal GIFs that are so much fun. You talk about amazing, wonderful people, and you introduce us to new things. And then the songs of the week. Oh, my gosh. And it just makes me so happy.
It can make you happy, too. I mean, listen, this is coming from Mary. She doesn't even listen to the podcast. She's here just for the newsletter. No joke. So, again, go to tbtl.net and click on the button that says sign me up for the TBTL newsletter. And we'll try to bring a little extra sunshine to your inbox every Friday afternoon. Are we to the point where we need to start thinking about how to wrap up this
we are.
Jewel of a
We're
show?
Well past the point. I've got to go power use some carbs and learn all about the wonderful world of pizza. I'm here
good.
For 3 days, by the way. Like, I don't know, like, this is going to be a 3-minute television story. We're going to shoot like 24 hours of pizza cover. I mean, a total. We have 3 8-hour day shoots scheduled for this thing. So I am going to be even more insufferable by Friday morning, because I will have taken in all of the information possible about pizza, and I will not be shy about sharing it with you, whether you want to hear about it or not.
Hey, before we wrap up really quickly, and by the way, I'm probably going to go eat pizza for lunch, because you've just implanted that in my brain. I like it. You go to Waffle House in the South, and so I have to find an IHOP up here. Now I know that I'm going to be at some Pagliacci's trying to pretend like I'm surrounded by even more pizzas later. But really quick plug, if you don't mind. Genevieve and I this weekend were on our friend's podcast. It's called the Deadbeat Film Society. They asked us to come on the show and talk about whatever won Best Picture at the Oscars, and we were really hoping it wouldn't be Green Book, but it was Green Book. And so Vives and I went on their show to talk about Green Book. So it's hosted by Emily and Kevin, and they are just goddamn delightful. So if you want more Genevieve
in your
life, I would check it out.
I think we all do.
I
would
agree.
You say just get it wherever you get your podcasts?
I would say, you know, are you looking for, you know, hiring people is not easy. And if you are looking to recruit, they might have a spot in there telling you exactly how you can recruit people for your business. I'm trying to steal your
joke. Well, no, because, you know, we own the website wherever you get your podcast.com now.
Oh, did you register that? I remember you making
that's
that
not
joke.
TBTL. Actually. That's a TBTL property.
Oh, nice.
So I think
oh.
we should really start. I think we really need to start really pushing that.
All right. All right, sounds good. I forgot about that. If I go there right now, it'll just be like a, it'll just be a landing page.
Does it what go is? I don't know. I'm trying to go there on my phone, and it's not. I'm not getting a good result. It's saying Safari cannot open the page. I know for a fact though that I did register it. I've been billed. What happens when you go to wherever you get your podcasts.com?
Let me see here. I'm trying to. I'm also trying to think of a song because now wherever you get your podcasts.com. It has expired. You can renew it now? Didn't you just buy this?
I thought I just bought it like a week ago. Okay, I'll double check.
You figure this out. Forget about the pizza thing. This is more important.
Yep. All right. Absolutely.
All right. Okay. Here. So what do you want to go out with? Let's choose this quickly because now I'm stressing out on your behalf, which is something I tend to do. And
thank you.
I'm
appreciate it.
My,
you're stressing for two. how about the song Mother by John Lennon? I don't know why that came into my mind.
That's a really dark song.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
Cause you know,
it's like,
yeah.
Oh, okay.
Sorry. I don't, right. You know, remember I tried to wave
off
Phyllis's?
Well, then Chet Hayes it is.
Remember I tried to wave off Phyllis's? here's what I will do. And this may be a mistake. I darkened the door of Teddy's Tavern last night. Is there a way for
me? Oh, really?
And I was rocking the jukebox for like an hour. And is there a
don't
way
rock
for
the jukebox.
Is there a way?
I want to hear George Jones. R.I.P. Newman. That was his song, man.
Oh, that was his song, right.
Rock the jukebox. I
how
love
about
that
this?
Song.
Can we did we, have we played the Pixies lately? The
Slicing Eyeball song in a while.
How about Levitate Me by the Pixies? That was a song I played last night.
Oh God! Wait, you nixed my song, and then you play Black Francis, my nemesis.
Oh, I thought you liked the Pixies. You don't like the Pixies? We don't have
no,
to do
I
that.
Do.
Yeah.
I do. You're right.
I mean,
no,
I like
do.
John
I
Lennon
like,
too, but that Mother song is just like really. I mean, that's a really dirge of a song, talking about why his mom left him and his dad, or why his mom mistreated him and his dad left him. Right.
I just like the music of it. I'll just listen to it on my own time, Andrew.
Fine.
It's fine.
God
I got
damn it.
It. You listen. How about this? Let's listen to a made-up Cranberries song.
Okay. I'll build a spoon for you. how about listen to Gigantic? Everybody likes Gigantic. It's a fun,
I love it.
Poppy
I got
song,
no problem with Gigantic. Now, I'm big on like the top five, and by top five, I mean like most accessible, most popular Pixies songs. I am a big fan of This Monkey's Gone to Heaven, Debaser, Wave of Mutilation. I like the hits. I'm just not a completist like some people I know. But anyway, all right, cool. So we'll go out with this, and we'll say thank you to everybody for listening. We'll be right back here tomorrow morning with more Imaginary Radio for you. So we'll see you then. Until then, enjoy your Tuesday, and please remember, no mountain too tall.
And good luck to all.
Power out.